A Ekatra podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're really getting into a complex topic: war. Not just today's conflicts, but maybe how we fundamentally misunderstand the whole concept.
That's right. And our guide for this is Professor Sir Hugh Strachan. We're drawing mainly from his big work, simply titled War, but also his, you know, very helpful, very short introduction.
Okay, so what's the mission here? Why Strachan?
Well, the core mission is to grasp his central argument. He basically says our standard view of war, you know, states declaring war, armies fighting armies, it's just
outdated.
Worse than outdated. He calls it dangerously inadequate for the world we live in now, the 21st century.
And why is that so critical now?
Because, think about it, for you listening, the world doesn't really operate in neat boxes of war and peace anymore, does it?
No, it feels more like a constant state of something else, competition.
Exactly. That's the gray zone people talk about. It's this continuous competition. Mm-hmm. And if our leaders, if we, are still stuck thinking in those old binary terms, well, we're missing the real game. Things like information warfare, economic pressure.
We're essentially blind to how conflicts are actually being fought today.
Precisely. Strachan's work gives us the mental toolkit, maybe, to actually see this complexity and navigate it better.
Okay, so if we're navigating this tricky terrain, we need a reliable guide. Tell us about Professor Sir Hugh Strachan. Why should we listen to him?
Well, academically speaking, he's top tier. He held the Chichel Professorship of the History of War at Oxford, a very prestigious post. Now he's Professor of International Relations at St. Andrews.
Right, impressive credentials.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of historians study war. What makes Strachan's perspective distinctive?
I think it's his holistic approach. He really refuses to put war in a neat little box labeled military stuff. His expertise is vast, like from Napoleon all the way to today's conflicts. And he insists, absolutely insists, on weaving together the military side with the political, the social, economic, even cultural history.
So it's not just about battles and strategy.
Not at all. You can't understand how people fight, he argues, unless you understand the society behind the fighting. Where did these soldiers come from? What motivates them? What's the political goal?
That makes sense. Connecting the dots, basically.
Exactly. And here's the other key thing. He's not just an academic locked away in a library. He advises military institutions, governments. He's involved in applying historical understanding to current policy debates.
Ah, so he bridges theory, history, and practice. That combination.
Yeah.
That gives his critique some real weight.
Definitely. It's that blend of deep historical knowledge and practical engagement that makes his voice so authoritative when he says our understanding is inadequate.
Okay, let's dive into the book itself then. What's the absolute core argument? If he wants us to rethink war, what's the main idea he's pushing?
The central thesis, really, is that war isn't just a military thing. It's a deeply complex force. It's shaped by everything: politics, economics, society, culture, and it shapes them right back.
So stop seeing war as just an interruption to normal life.
And start seeing it as something deeply embedded within societies. It grows out of them.
And the book's purpose is to bridge that gap you mentioned.
Yeah.
Between the old model of state-on-state war and the messy reality we see now with non-state groups, cyber attacks, all that.
That's the core purpose, yeah. To drag our thinking into the 21st century. And it's not just for generals, you know. It's aimed at policymakers, academics, sure, but also just informed citizens, anyone trying to make sense of the world.
So he's challenging basic assumptions.
Absolutely. He takes concepts we think are solid, like combatant versus non-combatant, or even the clear line between war and peace, and shows why they're actually falling apart, why they're often misleading now.
So if I had to boil it down, the key insight is that the character of war changes. It shifts depending on the society doing the fighting. It's not one fixed thing.
Exactly. It's dynamic, adaptable. It mirrors the people involved, the politics, the technology of the time. It's a chameleon, constantly changing its colors.
All right. To really get into this, we probably need to start with the big name in war theory, Clausewitz.
Yes.
Strachan uses him a lot, right? Especially that remarkable trinity idea.
He does. Carl von Clausewitz, the Prussian theorist, is sort of the intellectual starting point. You know, his famous line, war is the continuation of policy by other means.
Right. Politics drives war, supposedly.
Supposedly. Strachan uses Clausewitz's trinity to show why it's not that simple. The trinity has three elements pulling at war. First, there's raw emotion, primordial violence, passion that's linked to the people.
Okay.
Second, there's the play of chance and probability. Fog, friction, uncertainty, the commander's realm, dealing with the unpredictable reality on the ground.
And the third?
Reason. Rationality. War as subordinate to policy, that's the government's part, the political objective.
But here's where Strachan adds his twist, isn't it? He makes a distinction between the logic and the grammar of war.
That's the crucial correction. Yes. While war should follow political logic, its own internal grammar, the violence, the chance, the passion, is incredibly powerful. It can easily take over, distort the political aims, or even swamp them entirely.
So the very nature of fighting, the violence itself, has its own momentum. It can derail the plan.
Completely. War is never purely rational. Once that grammar of violence gets going, it can spin out of control, serving its own brutal logic instead of the government's intended policy. It takes on a life of its own.
If war's inherently got this irrational element, doesn't that make planning for it, strategic studies, almost futile?
Not futile, perhaps, but it forces strategy to be humble, to acknowledge the chaos, the friction, the human element. You have to plan for the irrational, expect it. But Strachan goes further. He shifts focus away from just the generals and the plans.
To society, you mentioned that earlier.
Right, to what he calls the lost dimension. He argues military history often ignores the bedrock, the society and culture that war springs from.
The idea being that focusing only on campaigns misses where the conflict actually originates.
Exactly. And how war transforms society. Think about how nations mobilize their people culturally. You know, propaganda, nationalism, or how war creates the idea of the citizen soldier like during the French Revolution. Suddenly, war wasn't just for kings and professionals. It involved everyone.
It changes everything. Gender roles, the power of the state.
All of it. War is a massive catalyst for social change. And this leads him to a really provocative point about history.
Which is?
He argues that the period we often consider normal, when the nation state had a near total monopoly on organized violence, let's say roughly Westphalia in 1648 to maybe 1945.
That era of conventional state warfare.
Yeah. He says that was the anomaly, a relatively short-lived historical achievement, not the default setting for human conflict.
Wow. Okay, so state-on-state war was the exception, not the rule throughout history.
That's his argument. And if that's true, it completely changes how we should view today's conflicts, the ones fought by non-state groups, militias, terrorists.
Which brings us right to the whole debate about new wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that conflicts today are fundamentally different, fought over identity, targeting civilians, funded by crime, etc.
Strachan tackles that head on, and he's skeptical. He asks, how truly new are these features?
Because if the state monopoly was the historical blip,
then maybe today's messy, decentralized violence focused on identity or resources actually looks a lot more like older pre-state forms of conflict that were common for centuries.
So it's less a radical break and more a kind of fragmentation. A return to an older pattern, but with modern tech.
That's closer to his view. A fragmentation of the state's authority, leading back towards diffuse violence. The danger in calling them entirely new is significant.
What's the danger? What mistake do policymakers make if they think it's all unprecedented?
They might look for purely technical fixes or military solutions, ignoring the deep historical roots, the social or economic drivers. It's like treating the symptom, not the cause. You miss the bigger picture.
And that ties into the other big theme, the blurring lines.
Yes, the blurring binary. The idea that war and peace are distinct states is basically obsolete in practice. We're in that gray zone.
Continuous competition, as you said. And it's not just soldiers and tanks anymore.
Not by a long shot. Strachan really emphasizes economic and information warfare. He sees them as central, not just sideshows. Decisive struggles now often happen through sanctions, trade wars, cyber attacks, manipulating social media, shaping perceptions.
The fight is for influence, for economic advantage, for narrative control, as much as for territory.
Absolutely. Think about the conflict in Ukraine, even before the full-scale invasion in 2022. From 2014 onwards, it was a textbook example. Conventional fighting mixed with intense information campaigns, cyber attacks, economic pressure, all happening simultaneously in this competitive space.
Right. Okay, so stepping back a bit, if we had to pull out the core messages, the foundational shifts Strachan wants us to grasp, what would they be? Maybe three key things.
Okay, three big ones. First, definitely the primacy of politics, but maybe in a complicated way. Military action should serve political goals, but those goals are often shifting, complex, even contradictory. This creates huge challenges for military commanders on the ground.
Like we saw in places like Iraq or Afghanistan, perhaps,
yeah.
Where the military objectives kept changing or seemed unclear.
Exactly. Military means getting tangled up in messy political realities. That's one. Second, the democratization of violence.
Meaning violence isn't just for states anymore.
Right. Thanks to globalization, technology, small groups, even individuals, can now achieve strategic effects. They can disrupt things, spread fear, influence politics in ways that used to require a whole nation state's resources.
Scary thought. And the third?
I'd say the persistence of human factors. Despite all the drones, the cyber weapons, the advanced tech, war is still driven by fundamental human stuff. Fear, honor, greed, ideology, passion.
It's not just a tech problem you can optimize.
Never. It's fundamentally a human problem, tangled up with politics and society.
And understanding these factors helps counter what Strachan calls presentism. What does he mean by that?
Ah, yes. Presentism. It's his critique of how, sometimes, the field of strategic studies gets too focused on the now, on current crises, abstract models like game theory.
At the expense of history.
Exactly. At the expense of deep historical knowledge and context, forgetting that many of today's problems have deep roots and historical parallels.
So the risk is we think everything is brand new, we miss the recurring patterns, and we end up
making the same mistakes again. Because we didn't learn from the past, or we assume the past isn't relevant, Strachan argues it's profoundly relevant.
He does seem good at crystallizing these big ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any particular sort of memorable lines or core concepts that really sum things up?
Yeah, a few key ideas stand out. One is about the nature of modern conflict itself. The idea that war isn't this declared start and finish thing anymore. It's become a continuous process. Competition, sometimes cooperation involving states, companies, groups. It's ongoing.
The gray zone is the new reality.
That's the essence of it. Another is about where the important struggles happen. He makes it clear. In the 21st century, the decisive domains are often economic, informational, psychological, not just the physical battlefield.
That really shifts where you'd focus attention and resources, doesn't it?
It absolutely should. And finally, his take on peace. It's not just waiting for war to end.
What is it then?
Peace, in this view, isn't the absence of conflict because competition is constant. It's the successful management of that competition, handling disagreements without resorting to large-scale violence. Peace has to be actively pursued and managed. It's a strategy, not just a state of being.
That's a powerful reframing. Peace is active management. Okay, so bringing this down to earth,
yep.
How can someone listening apply this? What are the practical takeaways for, say, citizens or maybe business leaders or policymakers?
Okay, for citizens, for you listening, Strachan's emphasis on information warfare is key. It means becoming more critical consumers of media. Developing media literacy isn't just nice to have, it's almost a civic duty now.
To avoid being manipulated by these campaigns targeting perceptions.
Exactly. Recognizing disinformation, understanding how narratives are shaped, that's personal defense in the information age. For business leaders, his points on economic warfare are crucial.
How so?
Things like supply chain security, financial dependencies, where your data is stored. These aren't just business logistics anymore. There are potential vulnerabilities in this wider competitive landscape. Building resilience against economic pressure or disruption is vital.
Treating economic factors as security issues.
Yes. And for policymakers, the message is pretty stark. Ditch the simple linear thinking. Stop seeing tools in isolation, military over here, diplomacy over there, economic sanctions somewhere else.
It needs to be integrated.
Totally integrated. Coordinating all instruments of national power, economic, informational, diplomatic, military, into coherent, ongoing strategies. The focus has to be on building long-term resilience across society, not just prepping for some hypothetical D-Day invasion.
It demands a much more holistic and probably much more difficult approach to statecraft.
Much more difficult, yes.
Okay, as we wrap up, what's the one big lesson you take away from digging into Strachan's work again? What stands out most? For me, it's that point about intellectual humility, realizing how complex war is, ditching those easy binaries. And I was genuinely surprised by the historical argument that maybe the new wars aren't so new after all, but a reversion to a much older norm. It kind of reframes the present chaos.
Yeah, the humility point is huge. For me, the lasting insight is probably about where success actually lies in this new era. It's less about having the biggest tanks or the fastest jets, though those still matter, of course. It's more about the political ability to cleverly integrate all those different tools, economic, informational, social, military, to deal with the messy reality of conflict.
The ability to orchestrate the whole symphony, not just play one instrument really loud.
That's a good way to put it. And honestly, that kind of integration requires fundamental changes in how governments are structured, how they think, how they plan. It's a massive challenge that, frankly, most are still grappling with.
A sobering but essential perspective from Hugh Strachan. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.